Well, this is certainly new. Hi, and welcome to what might be the new format. I'm trying to see if I can do something along the lines of streaming and giving those patrons who want some additional access at least the ability to watch me just, throw random dice and screw around. Probably very different than what most people who go onto Twitch to watch solo play. But you know what? We'll lean into it. So, we will start off this inaugural New Year's episode doing a slight recap. As we remember, poor Yakim, what little is left of his mental state, is being dragged east in the presence of a Splugorth slaver who just overwhelmingly overpowered him, and a couple of the Altaran slave women who accompanied this vile creature. And through this, they dragged him far east. He doesn't know, because poor Yakim's been lost inside his own mind. His memories are being stripped from him. He is attached to something that doesn't quite make sense yet. And as he tries to cobble together what little is left of his mind, he has flashes. We see him talk to a bunch of juicers who are still trying to make their way in a completely ruined new town, despite the fact that he recalls the place being burned to the ground. And the traitor Jean-Francois had also come to him to warn him of something, that he is dying, that the final bill is coming due, and that at some point he knows the juicer augmentation doesn't last forever, and eventually it's going to give out. So we are starting right off with as Yakim had been dragged underground, though to call it dragged isn't quite the right term. He went willingly, unaware that he is even truly a servant right now. The creatures took him to a hidden underground base, next to a large river. At this point, we're not even sure where poor Yakim is. So we are going to start with the chaos factor. We're going to put up as a 7. We're going to ask a fate question. Has Yakim been taken to the Mississippi River? And 99, exceptional no. So this is not the Mississippi, so he didn't go that far. That'll be good for him, because if he can get out of this and not die in the process, at least this will be an opportunity for him to not be completely fucked over. But we kind of come into the scene. Let's see, the chaos factor of 7, I'm sure it's going to be pretty high. And the scene is altered. Let's see. Let's give this scene adjustment. Make 2 adjustments. Add an object and remove a character. Okay. Well, let's roll on the character list. See who that is first. Okay. It's the Splugorth slaver. That might be fortuitous. And now let's go over to the object. Deliberate and get out of the way. Deliberate and important. Okay. I'm gonna go with just to kind of get an idea. General actions, conversations, let's see. I'm going to go with general actions here. We're going to see, what is this Splugorth actually doing? Assist take. Okay. So. Excuse me. Excuse me. As the scene, as we are watching it, unfolds, the large platform, this hovering almost 25 foot wide metallic and bioorganically grown disc floats down a wide enough hallway, ramp leading to someplace underneath the water. We start hearing the sounds of mechanical usage. It sounds almost like that there's an underground hangar that nobody's been aware of for quite some time. And as the slaver's platform eventually comes out to a much wider open... Well, let's throw in... Do we have something like that? Dungeon. You know, fuck it. Let's roll on the dungeon table. I can't even read what that says. Let's see. Occupied mechanical. Ah, that makes absolute sense. So, these creatures bring him down, and he is right away just kind of lost. His mental state just kind of goes haywire on him. He doesn't quite see or understand what's going on, but his mind is trying to put the pieces together. And he blinks around this cavernous space. Mechanical and bioorganically created things draped from the walls. Heavy chains seem to hold power armor that he has never seen before. His mind doesn't even make up the shapes. Some of it looks equestrian. Some of it looks serpentine. He just kind of blinks in slow motion, and he watches as one of them begins to move. The tail flicks to life. The lights begin to come up across the chest. The eyes themselves blink and go green. And then it reaches over its back, pulls out a broadsword as large as a human being. Not even a broadsword, actually. Specifically, they have axes. And it takes a couple swings in the air before relocking it into place, and then suddenly the form moves forward, and across the snake's belly, it just begins to slither fast. Nikim just kind of, oh man, that snake's headed off somewhere really quick. I hope nobody's waiting on him. The slaver just begins to laugh a little bit, and the Altarian women just kind of look down. One of them just kind of blinks at him, or not even blinks, they don't have eyes, so there's just a smirk on her face. And as they eventually come up to a large platform, the two women jump down. They take the remains of their fallen sister, take her over to a open pit. One of them presses a button, tosses the body in, and flames lick up before it closes again. And then they come back for the two slaves that they've brought. Yakim, as we see him step down, he is still wired up on the juicer harness. His arms bare. What's left of his armor has been completely stripped off of him, and he is just stumbling in ripped and tattered clothes. The other person, who blinks with kind of like the same stoned curiosity, is just kind of looking around as, oh boy, I tell you what. Man, it's some weird shit. And Yakim just goes, I know, right? Where the fuck are we? One of them kind of takes him over. I'm gonna go, let's see here. And let's try a little conversation roll. Colorful. Official. The Altarian woman comes up. You'll need to pay attention now. This is important, and this determines what happens for the rest of life. And I don't know why the Altarians are now Russian, but we're going to roll with it for now. She points over to a like a large series of cages, and she points to this hunched, alien-looking creature. Flared teeth that kind of jut out of its jaw like a overbite, almost like a Venus flytrap, as it isn't completely enclosed, with large lizard eyes scaly face and but thin, gangly arms that almost go down past this creature's knees. It's thumping by on a staff that has a continuously rotating eye on top of it. She goes, "You report to the kennel master, and he will make sure you fed and trained. Do not disobey. He will kill you." And she looks. He goes, "If you're lucky, he will kill you before they experiment on you." And she pats the biocomp in the front of Yakim's chest. And he just goes, "Okay, I will comply." And stumbles forward, walking directly over to the creature. Creature kind of looks up and just begins to garble a little bit. And then suddenly it comes over in kind of that modified American. He goes, "You sit and you wait. And then when we feed you, we feed you food. And then you fight. Yes, you all fight." He looks, points over to an empty cage. Because you'll get in that one. Points over to the farmer. "You'll get in that one." And Yakim blindly just walks over to it. And the cage shuts behind him. He latches it. And then he just stands there for a little bit. He goes, "Hey, can I go use the potty?" And the creature stops. Looks at him quizzically. And then points to a corner. He goes, "Oh. Alright, I guess I gotta designate a corner now." Stumbles back up. And then as he kind of looks around, he starts getting his first real view here. He looks up and down. Nothing in here makes sense. Nothing itself looks like it should belong. But the truth is that everything here has been long hidden. He doesn't quite recognize why some of it almost looks familiar. The form and shape of this place is definitely former American Empire. You can see that there's stamps up on the wall still that look like "Made in the USA" was put there before long corroded, sanded down rust just kind of like made it almost a joke. But he kind of glances back up and around, and then there are some things that are very clearly not of this world. There's a workbench. Actually, let's try to do... I don't want to do characters. Let's do locations. Yeah, let's do another dungeon. Alright, so it says Miss Fortune Bleak. Okay, that's an interesting one. Let's go over, let's just get a random description here. Frantically, what does that say? Frantically cute. Okay. I'm gonna get one more roll here. We wanna go appearance. Yeah, that's not working too well for me right now. Strange makes sense. Strange modern. Okay. I know exactly who's down here. Yakim, as he glances around, locks eyes, and he sees a creature that for a moment almost looks familiar to him. It's definitely not human. Instead, what he glances over and sees is it's a bipedal, almost chimpanzee-style cousin, right? The obvious primate influence is there. The strong jaw, the wide set eyes, nose that just kind of almost looks human except for the fur that covers the patterns, except for this thing's cranium, the actual brain for it, is easily twice as large as any human's. It almost looks like a Twilight Zone episode where the brain case itself seems to jut out slightly into the back. The rest of the body is not as tall as a human, maybe about 5.5 feet, but the long, powerfully built arms, and then the obviously like almost opposable thumbs and opposable toes, as this creature just begins to stomp around in its obvious the favorite little workshop. It's wearing black and gold, what looks like highlighted bodysuit underneath a black long cloak, or not cloak, a coat. It almost looks like a medical coat, the exception of some obvious wiring that's just hooked up to it. And there's a couple of panels pressed into this thing's chest. It glances around and then scampers over. And it kind of looks with very clear eyes, very highly intelligent and bright, brilliant eyes. And it looks over to the kennel master, as he's been named. And just, they begin to mutter back and forth in a language that is mostly very smooth, guttural, but almost wet sound. Just, and eventually the kennel master just kind of points over and waves a hand away. The creature comes over, opens the gate seamlessly with just a touch on a panel, and then looks directly into Yakim's face and goes, "Pardon me." And Yakim goes, "Hey, are you speaking American?" And the creature, yes I am. That's very nice to meet you. Very, very pleasurable indeed. You are going to come with me. Come on." And Yakim just goes, looks over at the kennel master, who just nods and waves an impatient hand. Yakim begins to follow after. And then just, "So where are we going?" "No more questions." "Oh, okay. Can I..." And suddenly his mouth closes. And he walks over. Chimpanzee-looking creature just kind of points over to a table, kind of like cocked up at about a 30-degree angle. And he just goes, "Lay down and strap yourself in." Okay. And he gets up onto this makeshift gurney and just begins to strap his own legs in, straps his arms, and he looks over at his right hand and goes, Hey, I can't get this one." And he goes, "You are compliant." "Okay." And he comes over and just hear the as this thing snaps over its wrists. And then suddenly Yakim is just pulled taut against this board. And the creature just kind of looks him up and down. He goes, "I haven't had a chance to see one of these yet, but we had heard about it. The fighting prowess of you is so barbaric, so primitive. Tell me, why did you even bother going through this?" And Yakim just, let's ask a fake question here. "We know something, but, well, actually, Yakim can't lie." So Yakim kind of looks up and he goes, "I had to protect my family. There's bad things happening all over the place, and signing up for juicer augmentation is the best way. They do it for free." And he goes, "That's enough." "Oh, okay." He begins to poke at some of the tubes. He goes, "Are you aware of how this all works? You must be aware that you are going to be dying." And Yakim, "Yeah, no, we know the risks when you sign up. I knew all about it. There's been stories that there are detox, and if I can get out, then get done and then get out, then I could live a normal life." And the creature looks him up and down and goes, "That is almost childish. At what point do you think you're going to live a normal life? You've had this chemical pumping through your veins for years. There is no way you get out of this. My estimations..." And he kind of looks over at Yakim again and goes, "I give you at most 2 months." He goes, "Oh, well, that's why I need to detox." He goes, "No, I give you 2 months from detox till you take your own existence." And he walks away. Akeem is left kind of like laying on this gurney, and he just stops what he's doing for a second. He goes, "Hey, I don't know how to say this. I want to ask you something, but I've been told not to ask questions." And the creature just kind of, "That is probably for the best." He goes, "Okay, but I've never met someone like you. I can't ask this question." He goes, "Well, if I imagine what the question is, I'm a Kitani. We are the backbone of the Empire. And I think it is important that you know that you are now property and owned by the Splugorth specifically. Not just any Splugorth. But you are owned now by Splithkryn." He goes, "That's cool. I don't know who Splithkryn is." He goes, "It doesn't matter. You will probably die before he even witnesses you in the gladiator matches. But I think that is also, in its own way, completely okay." "Oh. Well, shit. Okay. Well, in that case, what do I do next?" He goes, "For now, you will answer my questions as best as you can." "Okay, I thought that's what I've been doing, but all right." And the creature kind of comes back. And let's see here. I'm going to do a fate question. And I'm not sure. Would the Kitani understand the Juicer Augmentation Project? Yes, they would, of course. And he kind of looks him up and down and goes, "Well, we have never had a live specimen of yours before. I am a little unwilling to damage you as it is, but I need to see what your capabilities are. The Alterans have claimed that you are a truly formidable creature, and on top of that, I haven't had a chance to fight one of you yet." And Yakim just goes, "Okay, are we gonna fight now? I don't have any of my stuff." And so, let's see. Next fake question. Does the Kitani take the, what is it called? Symbiote is something that provides from its host. What is a thing that only attaches to its host? Damn. Why am I forgetting this word? Okay. Does it take the creature off his neck? No, I mean, exceptional no. He kind of looks at it. He goes, "I think that is for the best. Now, we will not be taking this off of you. I think instead what we are going to do is we are going to attempt to get you healing." He goes, "That would be awesome. I've been kind of hurting lately." He goes, "Yes, well, the healing is for the body. I do not know if the mind. Well, I don't care either way." And he takes him over to a large vat. And as he kind of looks him up and down, he goes, "This is going to hurt." And he drops him into the vat, which will allow him to automatically make... Okay, so he's going to have to make one spirit check. Oh, man. Okay. So, distracted, -1, -1. I'm going to Benny that. Come on, come on, come on. Jesus. Okay, so he may develop a psychosis from this. So he gets to make a figure roll. plus two for this. Damn. Yeah, just spending that Benny because he needs to heal. All right. So he loses one wound, loses his fatigue, but he is still, because he's effectively just stuck. Man, all right. How does he even get out of this? Oh, he looks like he needs to be updated too. But so as he begins to wash in this thick, almost neon green fluid, and as he does, his body begins to ache, and then it goes from ache to burning. Then the burning just becomes overwhelming, and as he does, the as the ache becomes overwhelming, he begins to scream, but then they submerge his head. The bubbles flow out of his mouth. He begins to thrash a little bit just from the pure instinct of not wanting to drown. And the creature on the back of the neck just kind of burrows a little bit closer under the skin. As it does, he just kind of leaps his head backward. And he sees his body go almost just completely concave. He struggles again. The fluid, warm as it is, flows into his mouth. He almost seems like he's about to gag. But as he does, it flows back in. He swallows some of it. But the burning sensation then catches him up from the inside. It's got four advances. I'm going to check something here. Dodge edge. Nope, he's right. Okay. The count be right. So, as he, they eventually pull him back out, and let's see, we're going to give him, nope, that's not how you spell insanity at all, insanity, and we're going to try a Bioborg insanity roll. So he's about to become arrogant, now let's ask the fate question. Is the insanity permanent? That is good. However, for now, he is going to have the arrogant hindrance. Okay. And I'm going to flag that one because I want to make sure to remember that. Now his gear, this is all gone. Yeah, okay. A couple days later, so let's, the chaos factor is gonna go up again. He is in a really bad spot. So we're gonna count that as the scene. We're gonna move right into the next one. So we are going to start scene alteration roll, chaos factor of 8. The scene is altered. Increase in activity. What activity? I mean, he is effectively captured, so let's roll the threat list. Okay. How would we discover Jean-Francois's background? Well, maybe it's not Yakim that does it. Okay. I'm gonna roll with this. I'm gonna take a note. I thought I was taking a note. Mythic Adventure. Battle log. Take a note here. Remote. Discover. Background. Okay. As a couple days pass, let's just go, let's see. I thought there was a way to do this. Midnight? Midday? Nope. Yeah, we'll give him 2 days of just eventually coming around again. As Yakim, it's kind of opens up again. The blur of his memory just seems to have never abated. He finds himself in front of this creature again, looking him up and down, poking and prodding. And so the creature just kind of looks him. Let's start with the fake question. Does the Tani want to test the team? Yeah, so he starts immediately with a batter of physical tests that Yakim, in this kind of like stone stupor, he doesn't even fully recognize what's going on. Creature comes up to him again and goes, "You know, it's really curious that you haven't asked my name. You haven't really engaged in any conversations. Well, I guess maybe at some point." And he reaches forward, and suddenly there is golden clasps on his wrists, on his feet, another one around his neck. It's difficult just simply because the juicer augmentation itself is almost like a series of tubes, much like the internet, apparently, that connects to wrist, to chest, to hands, to head. And he kind of loops these things around and steps back a second and goes, "All right, I think it's important that you understand what I just did. If at any point in time I feel that you are about to become violent or you may attempt to kill me, I press this button and it's going to cut off your supply." Yakim, "Okay." Goes, "I think this point should be apparently clear, but just in case, I'm going to bring it up to you. It will kill you if left on long enough." He goes, "So don't fight back is what you're saying?" He goes, "Oh, no, no, no. I want you to fight back. I need to see how powerful you actually are. But if you raise a hand against me or any of the Splugorth servants, we will have issues." He goes, "I got it." He goes, "Good. Now stand there." And the creature suddenly comes forward with a pair of tongs. He clicks them a couple of times. They get pretty close to Yakim's face, and he just kind of watches, his eyes rolling. They go wide and white, much like a horse's. And suddenly there's a tearing sensation at the back of his neck. He just...
Oh, fuck. The fuck is that? Why does that hurt so much?
And the Katani drops this. It almost looks like a like dark crimson, almost to the point of black, almost like a tumor, and these little crawling legs and a small proboscis just kind of like shoot out and around at the bottom of this thing. The Katani drops it into a jar, closes it up, and then from a little tube at the top sprays some what looks like red fluid into it, and the creature just begins to lap it up. The Katani looks over at him and goes, "It should be wearing off of you pretty quickly. That right there was, well, I like to think of them as mind slugs." He goes, "That doesn't, what? You had a slug on my head. What the fuck was it doing to me?" He goes, "Well, if I had let it, it would have eventually killed you. It just drains you of your ability to resist your inhibitions, your ability to fight back. Makes you a terrible fighter in the ring." And Yakim, trying to shake this off, goes, "Fuck you mean in the ring? You guys have You're going to make me fight. You're going to put me in a gladiator match. Katani just kind of goes, yes. But I really want to see what this augmentation is actually about. So we are going to set you up against something first. Nikim, I feel like I'm going to throw up. He goes, I would greatly appreciate it if you held on to that. I have no desire to clean this up right now. He goes, oh, fuck me. What? Oh, and as we come back to another scene a little bit later, let's see, I'm looking for something. I obviously don't have any of the right scenes here. I thought I had some cool ones, but you know what? It's not really going to matter too much. At most, the reason it'll matter is just to have something for Yakim to hide behind, but alright, well, I think the first things that we need to look at, let's go to the compendium packs, we're going to go to the Savage Rifts, we're going to go to Atlantis. Oh, I thought there was one in there. Because we need gear. Abilities. No, I don't want abilities, I want gear. Gear. Let's see. Weapons. Ranged weapons. Yeah, that's what we're talking about now. What would they give him? Let's ask a fake question. Would the Katani try to let's see. Unexpected random event, NPC action. Struggle allies. Okay. Struggle allies. What? Let's get a little more description here. Generously reassuring. So what I'm kind of hearing here, okay, they bring the farmer that Yakim was taken up with, and Yakim just kind of in a glance sees him. He goes, hey, you doing okay? They brought you in and they brought me in. And he kind of looks around and give him a notice roll. Well, actually, now that he's got that thing taken off of him, and he's not prone. Let's see. There you go, Yakim. 7 on the notice roll. He sees this farmer doesn't have that thing on the back of his neck. He goes, hey, you got your mind back. Oh, fuck, man. Hey, we gotta start talking about this. We gotta get out of here. The guy looks and he goes, No. Don't fucking say anything. They don't know. For some reason, they think that I'm still, like, whatever, mind fucked. Yeah. Fuck you mean, get out of here? They're gonna kill us anyway, right? They're gonna, like, eat us or something? He goes, that's the fuck why we gotta get out of here. He goes, no. Fuck, leave me alone. And kind of goes away. And then as the guy comes back, he goes, fine, how the fuck do we get out of here? He goes, I'll start working on something, but you and me, we're in on this, right? He goes, I'm not going to betray you. They're going to fucking eat us. He goes, yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, we're getting the fuck out of here. And then the Katani begins to come back. Glances over and sees the farmer, who immediately puts on a bit of a slack look. I think there's just a townsfolk. We said he was a farmer, right? Farmer. Nope.
villain.
Civilian. Okay. Persuasion shooting. We're going to give him a stealth roll. No. First thing we're going to do, Yakim is going to... Oh, man. What the fuck is he going to try to do? He's going to try to distract... give him a persuasion roll. Let's see. Does Yakim try to distract using fighting? Yes. So I'm going to give him a fighting roll, but he's trying to distract. This isn't exactly his point, so I'm going to give him a -2 on the roll. And he... gets a 4. Okay, so he gets out a +1 to this guy's stealth roll to get the fuck away. Come on, civilian. Come on, dude. Oh my god. As Yakim comes over and he is kind of like practicing some of his forms, he comes and takes a leaping run towards Kitani. The Kitani himself seems a little surprised, recoils and pulls his fists up, and then Yakim drops back down. He goes, no, no need to use the golden taser thing, man. I'm just trying to work out. And he glances backwards to see the farmer beginning to stalk away. He goes, what have you got? You said you wanted me to show you how to fight or something. He goes, oh, no. We know how to fight. I want to see how you fight. And he throws him. Let's see. I want to give him an energy lance, but I'm going to ask the question first. Does the Kitani give him an energy lance? No. Damn, what does he give him then? Fucking spear gun? Mini torpedoes? Like, what? It's got to be the K-series, right? You know what? He's going to give him the K1 sniper laser rifle. So, let's see. Yakim picks it up, kind of like gives it a little bit of a heft, glances up and down and looks at this thing. In comparison, it's actually much lighter than his J9. And despite it's twice as heavy. I'm going to take that back. He kind of looks it up and down. It has obvious, like, the multi-optic scope. It's got a firing laser, and it feels familiar. Heavy, though, because underneath it is mounted a, like, a tube-based grenade launcher. It holds 2 shots. And as Yakim kind of, like, looks it down, he pulls open the barrel, sees the tube, and goes, oh, fuck. Fuck you guys fighting out here. And the Kitani just laughs a little bit and goes, you don't get this yet. He goes, we've been continuously fighting against you for a while. Me personally, or just humanity in general? He goes, whatever you rats call yourselves on this forgotten ball, nothing here actually really matters. But... yeah, pretty much you. He goes, that's fucked. This is what you've been using? Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, what do you want me to do with it? He leads him over to like an open range where at the distance Let's try something here. Does the Kitani... does the Kitani use a prisoner as target practice? A little worried about this one. Oh, shit. He kind of looks over to Yakim, hands him a weird-looking clip. It's an e-clip, but it's designed specifically for these style items. It doesn't look like the classic e-clip that he's used to. And he, no, man. You need to fucking talk me through this. What are you asking me to do? He looks and goes, I want you to shoot that person in the head using this rifle, and you get one shot. And if you do not, then I will punish you. Oh, what the fuck? And as the kind of scene ends out there, I'm not going to bump the chaos factor up. I'm going to update the threats list a little bit. I'm going to include discover Jean-Francois' background. I'm marking that as outside. I want to roll on that. Escape with the farmer is now one of the threads. And I know I gave the farmer a name, but I couldn't find my notes for it. So he's going to have a new name soon. And discover the Spugorth, maybe function here, right? They're obviously on a mission of some sort, but what does that look like realistically? Like, what are we going to be doing with that? So, all right. So, We will call it there. That seems good. Let's take a look at the characters. Did we ever put Splugor Slaver? Nope. Do we have... Alright, well, let's give this poor farmer a name. Farmer Ally... Characters, identities, descriptors. There was one that was just like straight up names. Names. Talia. Okay. Talia. Alright. I mean, that's as good a name as any. So, let's actually just go ahead and build him a token now, too. So, let's create civilian. Import. We're gonna give him a name here. This is Talia. Don't do any stupid-ass naming. Nope. Cool. And let's see, do I have any fun tokens? Because I don't know. Come on. There we go. NPCs. Just a bunch of random looking people here. You can tell by some of the selections I've had on various games that things get weird. You know, though, Talia, does not sound like a... Okay, I just obviously clicked way too many times. for those who use Foundry, I highly recommend tokenizers. The ability to create custom tokens quickly, just absolutely amazing. But so now Talia has an icon and a token, which hopefully means she will not die right away. But, you know, anybody who joined, anybody who watches this, or anybody who goes back and wants to listen, I will provide links to the recording for this and Twitch. I'm also broadcasting on YouTube. I ask that, you know, anybody who may be interested in, feel free to join me. We have a Discord server, which I would also recommend signing onto our Patreon. Even at the free tier, you get the link and the access directly into Discord. Join us there. Trying to build a thing of just hanging out, being stupid, goofing off, and, you know, just sometimes the finding out phase of fucking around can actually be kind of fun. But regardless, I want to say thank you. Feel free to join us at our Patreon at way too loud, patreon.com/dyingsigh. With the member tier, the juicer member tier, you also get access to advanced episodes we released a week early. I'll also make sure to post and do surprise interviews and everything else there. So please join us until next time. Thank you.